Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Welcome to the Evening Show podcast with me, Gordon Smart, and my brainy friend, producer Vin.
Hello.
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 Vin, it's been an interesting week this week. You have been operating, I think, at full tilt, haven't you?
It was more than I thought it was going to be this week.
Yeah, but Thursday night, you looked like you might be on the point of a Michael Douglas falling down moment.
I was filling in for some colleagues, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a busy one.
They only need one colleague here, and his name's Vin. Just give you the job of doing everything here. It's been a good week, though.
Yeah.
We had Georgie Ezra.
Little Georgie Ezra.
Can we call him Little Georgie Ezra?
Yeah, of course we can.
Ellis and John gave him a nickname, and it stuck, and he liked it. So he's talking about that. I've got Tom from Editors as well. He was in on Monday night on the Evening Show.
Yeah, new music from Editors, and that is great. And I haven't told you this yet, actually.
Well, go on.
Since Tom came in, all week I've been listening to nothing but Editors. I've been going back into the catalogue. Yeah. It's so good.
They make a really rich sound.
Yeah.
And I like it.
We both like depressing music.
We do, yeah. My missus always giving me a hard time because all the songs I play are so miserable. But I like their stuff. It's really, really good. So it was good having Tom from Editors on. Good to have them back as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we've got a bit of that. And we had one of our best classic album chats as well on Monday with Smashing Pumpkins' Melancholy, because you were a little bit unsure about it, because I think it was maybe passing you by.
Yeah, it's an absolute, I hold my hands up, it's a blind spot for me, totally.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed that.
Yeah, Billy, it was weird to take a step back to my 15th year on this planet, because all that music came flooding back, and I hadn't listened to it for a long time, so it was nice going back to those great songs. So that's it, the Evening Show podcast. I hope you enjoy it, and if you do, please leave a review.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
This is the Monday Night Evening Show here on Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart, and I'm absolutely thrilled to say I'm joined by a Mercury-nominated band, a multi-platinum-selling act. Editors are back, and Tom Smith, frontman of the band, is here. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Gordon.
It's the new year, fresh start. It's been 3 years since you last had something out. It's a great way to start off the new year, bringing out new music. How does it feel for you after all these years? Because I think that's now 16 years in the band, isn't it?
About that, yeah. This is our sixth record. Feels good. Apparently, it's Blue Monday today.
It is, yes.
This is new to me.
Do you feel? What are your emotions starting off 2018? You must feel quite excited about all this.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
We're over the moon, despite Blue Monday. I don't know. Yeah, sixth record. We're immensely proud of our longevity. You know, we're still here. But I think this record feels vital and exciting, and we just can't wait for people to hear it. It's still a buzz, you know.
Yeah.
However weary you can get sometimes at doing this for so long, you know, on the bad days.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a buzz to give people new stuff.
It's incredible to think about it. 16 years as a band. That, you know, you'd be legal to vote if you were a human being as a band. And it's quite mad to think that, because it doesn't seem to happen as often as that, to have that longevity in music. So what do you think the secret is? What has been the secret for Editors?
I think it's you should ask some of our fans, but I think it's a combination of I hope good songwriting and being good on stage, you know. I think even when our records have resonated less with, I don't know, certain media or whatever, when we played live, people believe it and they found something to love in what we do. So that's always been there, and our live kind of following has grown and grown and grown and grown. So how you know, with a new record, I hope it does really well. But I think that's what people respond to.
The album's called Violence. We had Vaccines another day, and they've got a new album coming called Combat.
Called Violence.
Yeah. No. Combat Sports. So we've got Combat Sports and Violence. And is this all just a response to the mad world that we're living in at the moment, do you think? Is it something that's really inspired your songwriting?
It's in there, absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's in there. I felt like this record, when I was thinking, it takes me a while to figure out what the songs mean and where they've come from, and you know, I don't write the songs with any kind of, I don't know, there's never a big story behind it. Mm-hmm. I go kind of my instincts, and I try to write lyrics that will kind of provoke an emotional response and kind of resonate with people, I guess kind of on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
But when I sat back and thought about a lot of these songs, a lot of them, they seem to have this thread of striving for some kind of human connection, some kind of intimacy, be that physical or kind of friendship, as a means of escape from things that are going on outside of your room.
Tell us about the first single then. It's called Magazine. Tell me where you wrote it and what the inspiration was when you started writing that.
Well, Magazine is a funny one, because Magazine is one of the songs that we wrote for, I think I wrote it just after our third record. So this is one of those songs that has a bit of a
It's been around.
Yeah, well, we never got the... We never finished it. You know, we tried with Flood, making that aborted fourth record when it fell apart for a bit and we went through a divorce. And it kind of keeps rearing its head. And something happened with the chorus in the making of this record. It all kind of clicked into place, a kind of eureka moment, I guess. So it's a song that's been in the background for a long time. It's a kind of a, I'm kind of scared of saying it's a political song, but it kind of like pokes fun, I say, at kind of like figures of power, you know, and that kind of like empty posturing and, bravado, that kind of like, showmanship isn't believable. Saying what you need to say to get the votes, you know what I mean? So
there's an awful lot of it at the moment as well, isn't there?
Sure, you know.
That's where music's important as well, I suppose.
Yeah, so it's a slightly tongue-in-cheek. I say yeah about six times. But that's where it comes from.
Well, Tom, I know an awful lot of your fans are listening tonight, waiting to hear this for the first time. We've had a little listen to it before, and it's absolutely excellent. And we're really pleased to tell you as well, this is our record of the week here at Radio
Sweet.
X. Magazine Editors, have a listen to this. This is the brand new single from Editors.
Right this way, the room's full to burst. Whatever you say, gotta quench that thirst. I got a little secret for you.
Radio X, the Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That was a brand new single from Editors Magazine, our record of the week here at Radio X. It's great, Tom. Fantastic to be back and listening to you on the radio again. We did a classic album chat a few months ago on a Monday.
Right.
And it was great thinking back to 2006 when that Mercury nomination happened. And I couldn't quite believe that's more than 10 years ago. In your mind, does it feel like that time's passed quickly, or does it feel like you've had a chance to sort of savour it and enjoy it?
Feels long.
Really, really long. A lot has happened, hasn't it, in the story of your band?
Some of those songs have endured. My son, who is now interested in music and actively interested in it, and talks to me about lyrics and things like that. I started, when we come down to the kitchen, he'll put Radio X on in the kitchen. And so recently I've been hearing every now and again Munich, and I haven't listened to that song on the radio for a long time.
Yeah.
And I hear that and I go, I kind of get why people like to, you know.
When I think of Editors, I always think of you as a live act as well, a band I always want to go and see. But he'll be of an age now where he can come and watch you. And will that be the first time you've taken him to see a gig?
No, I mean, they've grown up around that.
Yeah.
Me and his mum are involved in music and especially festivals. So, yeah. They've been on the bus in the cot.
Veterans.
Do you know what I mean? So, it's not new to them.
Speaking of live shows, it's shaping up very nicely in 2018, isn't it? So a lot of festival appearances. Neighbourhood Weekend, there'll be a special one, isn't it? Sunday night, I think you're playing.
Manchester.
Warrington Way, yeah.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to play in, you know, that part of the world, because, you know, it's a music part of the world, you know what I mean? So, so that'll be fun. We've got a lot of European dates before that, and there'll be more festivals. We're doing a show with The Cure in Hyde Park.
I mean, that'll be incredible as well. British summertime, isn't it, Hyde Park?
Yeah. So, we've been lucky. We've played with REM, we've played with Muse, some of those kind of iconic bands. But to do a show with The Cure is a bit of a dream come true. So, and then after the summer, there'll be a lot more UK shows.
You get quite involved when you see your band play, and I always think it's quite an emotional experience. But what's the worst gig you've ever played? Can you give us an example of one that just didn't go?
I fell off the piano about 4 months ago in Brussels.
That's bad. Badly injured?
I was pretty sore, actually, for a good 3 weeks. It was pretty bad. I'm not going to do that on the new tour. Worst gig? I mean, we did have a stinker in London on the last tour, because we had like PA issues. It just kept going off.
Oh,
and it's fine when it does it once or twice, but when it keeps going on and on, and you can't communicate with that's immensely lonely, even though you're surrounded by about 5,000 people. Yeah. I mean, I fall over all the time, but the one in Brussels recently was a showstopper. It was terrible. It was really embarrassing.
Oh, really? It was just classic, like a comedy fall.
Yeah.
Which way did you fall off? Backwards, sideways?
So I have, the piano's about so high, and I have my stool there. So I skipped from the stool. I got one foot on the top of the piano. The stool went, and I came backwards onto my side.
Yeah. Ooh. Can never be as bad as Paul McCartney.
It was a good charity, though.
Oh, right, so, well, that's all right.
Yeah,
so nobody can laugh at you for that, can they?
Well, yeah, only the cruel ones can laugh at that.
Radio X. Radio.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Here's an alarming fact for all the live music followers and lovers listening tonight, and I know there are loads of you tuned in, and I include myself as part of this. Over the past decade, 35% of music venues across the country have closed. UK Music, who are a brilliant campaign group representing both the recorded and live music industries, are putting up a fight with a Labour MP called John Speller to introduce a bill in the Commons to change planning laws and keep venues alive. Now, the proposed new law is backed by stars including Sir Paul McCartney, Chrissie Hynde, Craig David, Sandy Shaw, Ray Davies, Billy Bragg, Fergal Sharkey, and Pink Floyd drummer Nick Mason. So whenever you hear a chat about the Beatles, you always hear the Cavern Club mentioned, the venue where they got their big break, and Macca has thrown himself behind this campaign. So Sir Paul said, "Without the grassroots clubs, pubs, and music venues, my career would have been very different. If we don't support music at this level, then the future of music in general is in danger." I signed the petition last week. Look up UK Music and the Agent of Change Bill to protect live music. That's the Agent of Change Bill. It's a massive part of our lives at Radio X, and we need to do our bit for the next generation of bands who dream of following in the Beatles' footsteps. Get involved. Go and check it out.
Radio.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
So tonight's classic album chat is about Smashing Pumpkins' Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness, their third album, which was released, remarkably, 23rd of October 1995. That's 22 years ago. Came out on Virgin Records. It was a double album on CD and a triple LP on vinyl. Produced by frontman William Patrick Corgan, as we call him, or Billy Corgan, as you might know him, alongside Alan Moulder and the brilliant producer Flood. A producing legend who's worked with New Order, Nick Cave, Foes, The Killers, and loads of other top bands. Much, much more varied than the previous albums from Smashing Pumpkins, and Corgan allowed bassist Darcy Retzky and guitarist James Iha a lot more creative input. Debuted at number one in the US and went diamond after selling over 10 million copies. How about that for a figure? 7 Grammy nominations into the bargain as well. 5 brilliant singles. How about these? Bullet with Butterfly Wings, 1979, Tonight Tonight, 0 and 33. Plus tunes like Muzzle, Jelly Belly, and We Only Come Out at Night. So other band members got quite a lot more input, but Billy Corgan remained the star man. At that time, in the mid-90s, he really was a famous man. Played the Mellotron guitars, wrote and mixed string arrangements, and led the art direction, very famous art direction at the time, and designed for the album's visuals. So despite not being released as a single, Muzzle reached number 8 on the Modern Rock chart, which shows just how big the album was. It's one of those songs written for the album. It's about Corgan's thoughts on the public perception of him, and Billy Corgan really at that time was seen as a formidable beast. In fact, when we had him on as an interview recently, I was quite intimidated because he had that reputation. So that was what it was all about, but actually he's a really lovely fella. So Corgan doesn't quite like calling the record a concept album, but there's a very loose connection between every track, and if you remember the artwork, two halves are meant to represent day and night. He said the album was aimed at 14 to 24 year olds, hoping to sum up all the things I felt as a youth but was never able to voice articulately. So I was 15 at the time when this album came out. I think for me and all my friends in the mid 90s, it really spoke to us. Previous albums had been criticised for being one-dimensional, so the band really put a lot of variation into this album. Soft and slow songs, neck to heavy grunge, difference in layering. To Forgive has one live guitar, whilst Through the Eyes of Ruby has 70 guitar overdubs. So mid-90s overproduction, they were right into that. More instrumentation too, piano, synths, drum loops, alongside all the usual guitars, and even the live Chicago Symphony Orchestra on Tonight Tonight, which is a beautiful song. So tonight's classic album, Smashing Pumpkins, Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness. I've got two brilliant songs from that album, 1979. But first, this is the classic Tonight Tonight.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X. Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I see there's no one around.
Show. Classic album of the week. X.
Really, really enjoyed that tonight. Classic album chat. Smashing Pumpkins, Melancholy and The Infinite Sadness. Two songs there back to back. 1979 and Tonight. Thank you for your message as well. Evening Gordon, made my night with Pumpkins, mate. Jimmy Chamberlain got to be one of the best rock drummers for the last 30 years, in my humble opinion. Although he trained in jazz drumming, that was from Stee and Shaw. Indeed he did. Paradiddles, you could hear them all the way through tonight. Repetitive snare, rhythmic patterns. If it was a guitar, it would be called strumming. But there's the word for your pub quiz in the future. That noise in drumming is called paradiddle. Another message here from Memory Foam. Listening to Melancholy and The Infinite Sadness on Radio X, it's an unexpected treat. And Neil Renton as well, up in Scotland. Melancholy and The Infinite Sadness, an album and a half. In fact, a double album and a half, full of crackers. Really enjoyed that. So you just heard 1979, the second single from the album, full of samples and loops, a big gear change for the band at the time, and it was hugely, hugely popular. The last song written for the album, and get on this, producer Flood wanted to drop it after hearing the initial thoughts, but that inspired Billy Corgan to finish the whole song in just 4 hours. Like all the best songs, done and recorded very, very quickly. And before that, Tonight, it really is a classic song, isn't it? A shorter acoustic version called Tonight Reprise was included on the album, written while still on tour for the previous album, Siamese Dream, and it was recorded, as we mentioned, with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. And Billy Corgan always said that recording with a 30-piece string section was probably one of the most exciting recording experiences he ever had. So in the background you can hear Zero. It was the third single, 6 rhythm guitars, 2 12-string acoustics, and it was released as an EP. And how about this for a mid-90s thing to do? 6 B-sides. Never mind one B-side, 6 B-sides on that EP. First single, Bullet with Butterfly Wings, starts with an iconic riff, and it's a fan favourite. Loads of guitarists use it as a warm-up song, and it's influenced loads of bands. Listen to this. So we were talking earlier on to Gav from the Johnny Vaughan Show, who was a session musician, and he said that was his warm-up song. So how about that? Two songs back-to-back for you tonight, 1979 and Tonight from that brilliant classic album, Smashing Pumpkins, Melancholy and The Infinite Sadness.
Radio. X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Top 10 in 10 countries with his first album. Ivor Novello nominated. I think he's 4 times platinum on the debut album as well, so he's rich. George Ezra, it's lovely to see you. How are you doing?
Yeah, thank you for having me, man. How are you?
I'm excellent. Really good to see you.
I always forget those figures, or I don't. And when someone rattles them off, I'm always a bit like, man.
Yeah. And George, you're back on the new album, and it's got a lovely title as well. I was really enjoying that earlier on. Got this right, Tamara.
Yeah, so we're calling the record, I've gone and called it Staying at Tamara's.
Yeah.
I was in a fortunate position, you know, between the first and this record, where you've got to take some time to figure out what you're going to write about. And I went over to Barcelona for a month and found a bedroom on the internet and stayed in this flat with the host, and the host was Tamara. And it was just an amazing 4 weeks. I thought, I was convinced I'd made the biggest mistake of my life when I first landed. Yeah. What are you doing, man? But it was an amazing experience.
Barcelona is one of the best cities in the world, George. You know, I've been quite a lot of my life. It's a brilliant place, incredibly cultured, a lot of stuff visually to inspire you. But did you feel like your surroundings, the Gaudi art, all of that kind of stuff, did that play a part in creating this music?
I think it's more you need to be outside of your comfort zone in some capacity. Like if I wake up and go and sit on the same sofa I was watching I'm a Celeb the night before on, it's hard to then, you know, I find that hard to separate myself from either world. So it's nice to take myself out of my comfort zone.
Here's the thing, it's a really positive, upbeat and optimistic album, I think. And this single, Paradise, as well, is definitely in that spirit.
Yeah, I think for the record to work, I had to be as honest as I could be. And what I was doing at the time was trying to find an antidote to everything going on around me, and I'm very fortunate I get to write songs, and I believe that helps me, because you have to tackle things, you know, straight on. But I hope that people stick on the record and find that it's an antidote for themselves as well.
Well, let's do this right now, George. Friday Night Evening Show here on Radio X, the first play on the station as well. George, you want to introduce your new single?
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is George Ezra, and the next song that you're about to hear is my brand new single, and it's a song called Paradise, and I hope you enjoy it.
My love.
Radio.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
You know it's love heading your way.
That's the new single from George Ezra, Paradise. Thank you very much, George. And thanks very much for introducing it too.
Yeah, thank you for playing it.
It's really upbeat. We can imagine, we were talking about this when we listened to it for the first time. We can imagine a sea of people clapping along at a festival.
But that's the only kind of thing that is changed from writing the first record to this record. On the first record, you have no idea what it feels like to play live, really. Yeah. Whereas on the second one, you kind of are a bit more informed as to, like, I enjoy doing this live and this will work at a festival in particular. That's, like, where we spend a lot of our time.
The new album, Staying at Tamara's, was recorded, well, inspired by time in Barcelona, but you also visited some unusual places along the way. So, Pig Farm in Norfolk, the Isle of Skye, one of the most beautiful places in the world, and a few other really odd locations. What was that all about?
I think it going just going back to that taking yourself out the comfort zone kind of thing, and also me trying to find a way of switching it off from it all. The cabin in Norfolk, man, it was...
That was the pig
just,
farm, right?
Yeah. It's just... I found it and, you know, it's listed as, you know, your romantic retreat, one weekend, no electricity and whatever, and I'm going 10 days, just me. Come on, let's go. And everyone around me's going, are you sure? No electricity. And they were like, what are you going to do about a fridge? I was like, oh, yeah. What are you going to do about light? Oh, yeah. I'll deal with that when I get there. So I got there and it was just... It was glamping. Like, the truth is, yes, there was no electricity. You had to light the fire for hot water, but then the hot water poured into a roll-top bath. Like, it was like, kind of... And then the shower was on the outside of the building, so there's me, you know, Neil together having a shower each morning in this field. And as far as you could see, there was just pigs, as far as I'm aware,
so
or a long lens camera.
All on your own.
Yeah. And the first night was terrifying. I've got quite... active imagination, so all sorts were going on outside the cabin.
George, did you have 4G?
There was one corner, so I had to take 3 mobile phone chargers that I'd charged up before, because there's no... So I like gave them juice that could then give my phone juice, and I found one corner of the cabin, which in daylight I could get signal, and then once... I don't know why, but every night it would disappear. And I took a little battery-powered radio, so I kind of... Once a day, I'd stick on Radio 4 to find out what was going on in the world, just to make sure, you know, it hadn't all completely gone to... And I remember I was just sitting about one afternoon and kind of a posh Radio 4 news report was going, and Pokemon Go has taken the world by storm. And I'm like, Pokemon? What's Pokemon Go? So I'm in this field hearing the word Pokemon in 2017. Yeah. I was like, what is that?
Radio X. Radio.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Stick with me. If you're a former chart star and you've got a Brit Award tucked away in the attic, then here's a get-rich-quick scheme for you. S-Club singer Paul Cattermole has raised £66,000 by flogging his Brit Award. The 40-year-old stuck it on eBay because he's skint. Before I tell you about it, Vin, please switch that racket off. That's a lot better. The Best Newcomer statuette has raised a decent amount of wedge, and the S-Clubber said, didn't expect it to skyrocket like this. Mr. Cattermole has also kindly agreed to sort postage and pose for pictures with a lucky bidder, which must drop the price by at least a couple of quid. He's had no bids, though, for his framed platinum disc for record sales in New Zealand. A snip at only 200 quid. That's the opening bid. Anyway, back in the real world of this year's nominations, here's a reminder of some of the big bands and acts who are up for gongs. Liam Gallagher is in the running for British Male Solo Artist. And how about this for a strong category? British group Gorillaz, London Grammar, Royal Blood, Wolf Alice and the XX. Any one of them are deserved winners.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Tom Smith is here. All right, Tom.
All right.
Munich. It's funny speaking to bands about big songs like that. You still really enjoy Munich, don't you? And enjoy performing it. It's not one that you're sort of reluctant to wheel out.
No, definitely. We're very aware that it's part of our history and important part. You know, it's part of the reason that we're still doing what we're doing. So, like I said before, it was a long time since I really listened to it back in its recorded form. I'm so used to playing it live and seeing the response and feeling the response. But to hear it, you know, I get memory. I remember recording that in, it was a studio in Primrose Hill, which is not open anymore, which is a shame. But over Christmas, we were just trying to fit it in. We had like 2 days that we could only work in between Christmas and New Year, which no one ever works then in the music industry. But Jim, the producer, squeezed us in and yeah. And now you're still playing it.
When I think about editors, we talked about this earlier in the interview about how much you played live and how you've travelled so well and played so many gigs. Do you have an idea of how many gigs you've actually played as a band? Do you keep a little note of it?
We do keep a note. I know it's over 1,000 now.
Right, wow.
We have like well, it's called The Gig List, unimaginatively. And yeah, so we've just reached over 1,000. Yeah.
So this leads me to my next question that I ask all bands. I'm writing a really tedious book called Slash Gordon about the most famous encounters artists have in the bathroom and awkward conversations they've had. Tom, would you please add to our book with a story to add to Slash Gordon? Have you had any?
I can't think of too many things in the actual toilet itself, but I have been refused entry to a toilet.
No way.
Because there was somebody in there that I wasn't allowed to have a pee next to. So yeah, sometimes at festivals, artist security can be quite heavy-handed. Yeah. So there was one in France we did where Beck, we were sharing a bill with Beck and his security guard. Yeah, no, you're not going in there.
What else was he up to in there?
I you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm not allowed next to Beck.
This is not fair.
He probably doesn't even know about it, but yeah, his security wouldn't let me in.
I noticed that you've got some really intimate shows to play in March.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
How well prepared are you for them? If your rehearsals are going now, are you ready to go on stage tomorrow?
No.
Or is there a bit of work to be done?
No, it takes a while. I mean, this record as well is quite... it's quite electronic. I mean, I think with this album, we've managed to fuse the kind of guitar-y band nature of the band with the electronic side of things better than it feels kind of more honed than it's ever been before. I think we've done that well. So, but to then recreate that on stage takes a bit of thought and time, so no, we're not ready yet.
I know you're really interested in the visual side of it as well. You know, you always have amazing pictures with editors. How far are you going to go with it this time? And is there somebody that can tell you that's kind of a Spinal Tap? Is there somebody in the band that can say no?
I trust our instincts on that, but we work with a guy called Rahi Rezvani, who kind of does our videos and our photos, and he's been part of the band now for, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years actually. And we trust him and we're comfortable with him, so he takes us to places that I don't think we would go to with someone that you're meeting for the first time, you know.
Sure.
And so we've been under a rain machine, we've been in a water tank, we've been there's been more nudity than, I wouldn't say naked.
Have you said no at any point?
No, we haven't said no yet.
Yeah, yeah.
We kind of just trust him. I don't know, like, it's nice to have someone that you trust that kind of pulls you into a new place. And that side, the visual side of the band, I don't know. Yeah, he's a genius.
Radio.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
I've got a story that really made me smile today. I think we can all remember the first time we got a paycheck. Special moment in your life when suddenly you think you are on top of the world and you can buy anything. A good pal of the late Kurt Cobain has shared a really special moment in the Nirvana frontman's career. The moment his first royalties check dropped. So Kurt's pal is a chap called John Purkey, and he said he was there when the $18 check dropped through the letterbox. This is great. He said, I went round to Kurt's and we split a frozen pizza between us. About the same time, the mail shows up at his door, and it's a letter with a royalty check for radio play for Blue and About a Girl, and it was for $18. Unreal, isn't it, to think of that? He added, I was like, wow, you know, that's awesome. You got a royalty check. It wasn't that much, but still, it was probably more than what Kurt and I had in our pockets at the same time. So they did what all blokes do with their first lump of cash. They went for beer, played pool, and ordered even more pizza. You can see Kurt Cobain's pal John telling that story at radiox.co.uk. Go and have a look. Really interesting stuff.
Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Woo for you. I'd leave it all.
Classic George Ezra, we're going to call that. Budapest on Radio X. It's the Friday night evening show. After 3 years, you're allowed to call a song a classic, George.
Yeah, I think it's aged well. That.
So George is back with a brilliant new album, Staying at Tamara's. The first single's out. It's called Paradise. It's put a smile on my face tonight and hopefully yours as well. And George is here to talk about it. But George, when I see you, I always want to call you Little George Ezra because of Ellis and John. I know you're a big fan. And producer Vince scolded me earlier. He said, you can't just invite him in and start calling him Little George Ezra. But it just seems you're a big guy as well. How do you feel about your nickname?
Yeah, I'm happy with Little George Ezra. Yeah. Do you know what the funniest thing is? So I listened to it, and there's one bit where I think it's Ellis starts going on about my dad's, I think he's saying he's in prison, and he uses my dad's actual name. So I was listening to it, I was like, maybe there's more. I mean, my dad has not been to prison, but I was like, maybe they've done, like, actually thought about this more than it sounds.
Yeah. Did you have a nickname when you were growing up?
Did I have a nickname? No, not really, just George. And now Jeff.
Like, Jeff, I saw that your Snapchat name is, what was it, Crazy Jeff?
Maybe. No.
Raging Jeff.
Raging Jeff.
Raging Jeff. Oh, you've got to explain the Raging Jeff inspiration.
Jeff was just when I started out, so say I was 19, I was based in Bristol at the time, and any article about me, I'd be any age between 16 and 26. I'd come from any town that began with a B, so it'd be Birmingham, you know, Brighton, wherever. And any time one of those came through, that would be a Jeff report. That'd be like, oh, they're writing about Jeff again. And it stuck. I quite like it.
It's good, that. It's good. Exactly. Good. Now, George, when we get guests in, we always ask them, we're not interested in the best gigs you've played, because we could be here talking about amazing experiences all day long. We want to know about the ones that made your blood run cold. Mm. What's the worst gig you've played?
I've been thinking about it. The one that like stands out, and it's one of those ones where there's no one... I think it came from a good intention. I was over in Australia and Budapest had just been released, and I think people are trying to find a way of, you know, reinventing promo opportunities. So there was this radio station that had found, it was something like there was a road at, and they said it was in Sydney, but we drove a long way out of Sydney. There was a road that was called Budapest Way or something. It was quite like a, or an estate or something.
Right.
And they were like, they'd been telling me for weeks, you know, we're going to put on a cookout and you'll get up and play. And but it was in the middle of this kind of housing projects outside of the city. They put on a barbecue and there was this kind of little stage. And essentially all of the locals came for the free burgers. And then I had to get up while they walked away with their burgers. So I'm like, I'm jet lagged. I've driven out to the arse end of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, and then you have to go like, and of course the reason we're all here is because this song's called Budapest and we're on Budapest Way. It's kind of like, oh.
Oh, man.
So that sticks out as one that I would have rather not done.
Oh man, that's brutal. You've been doing some podcasting as well, I understand.
Yeah, I've been, yeah. It kind of started as an idea over a year ago now. And I think I took a bit of a running jump to get the confidence to do it. I haven't really got like a star-studded phone book, and a lot of the podcasts I listen to are comedians talking to comedians, and I think often comedians are very candid and they're very honest about the industry they work in, I found it very inspiring for myself, because I think often there's smoke and mirrors with entertainment, and I got to wondering whether you could do the same thing with musicians. So I sat down, started contacting people, and yeah, it's been amazing. So I've had Craig David, Rag and Bone Man, sat down with Ed Sheeran,
Ben Thatcher, you mentioned Royal Blood.
Yeah, Royal Blood, London Grammar, Declan McKenna. It's been amazing. And so I'm hoping to get ready to start releasing them soon.
Ask them what the worst thing they've ever done is. That will give you some good answers. Oh, George, it's lovely to see you.
Thank you for having me.
Congratulations on an amazing new album. Paradise is the new single. It's class, and it'd be great for your weekend. Get it on this weekend. That's what we say,
absolutely,
George, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Radio. X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
It's coming to the end of the evening show, which means it's story time. So get yourself comfortable. Producer Vin, let's have some appropriate music, please. A few years back, I went to see Radiohead play a big show in London on their In Rainbows tour. Somehow, and I can't remember how, I got a pass for the after-show party in London Bridge in the vaults underneath the train station. It was rammed and really odd, because the band didn't appear to be there. Then, all of a sudden, after about an hour, Tom York appeared in a small balcony above the main room, alone. It was a balcony with enough room for him. No one else. A carefully selected observatory. He stood there above his people, looking solemn, and I seem to remember dry ice. That might just be my memory adding some drama. It was like an audience with the Pope. Tom York, no eye contact with the folk below, on a balcony as we gazed momentarily upwards, and then returned to the business of drinking.
Radio X.